A more distant biological disaster made news this past week, a huge disaster. For decades now, researchers have been trying to figure out exactly what caused the 1918 flu epidemic, which killed between 20 and 40 million people around the world. Here in the United States, at least 700,000 people died, and they weren't just infants or the elderly, the usual flu victims. Many were healthy adults. And this past week, officials at the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology here in Washington, D.C., announced a small breakthrough in their medical detective hunt. They've recovered a specimen of the flu virus from the frozen remains of a victim who was buried in 1918 in Alaska. Jeffrey Taubenberger has been studying the 80-year-old cells for the Institute. He says if they unlock the secrets of that virus, it might help them prevent future epidemics. He says the 1918 flu was a terrible way to die.
One of the really bizarre features of this flu and helped make it such a catastrophe, that young, healthy adults, as you say, 20 to 40-year-old people, were almost selectively targeted by this flu. And the clinical course that they had was also extremely unusual. They often had very rapid onset of symptoms and then died within 3 or 4 days of the onset of symptoms. And what happened to them was that their lungs completely filled with fluid or blood. So these people literally drowned in their own blood.
And before we move on, just compare that to a, quote-unquote, normal flu epidemic.
Well, there are flu epidemics that occur generally yearly in the wintertime in the United States, and maybe 5 to 7, 10,000 people might die a year, mainly the elderly and people who are chronically ill. And in the other pandemics that have occurred this century, in 1957, something like 70,000 people died. But here you had almost 700,000 people dying in the United States. So we're talking death rates like 25 times that of a normal flu pandemic, so to speak.
And I am assuming that there is something of an interesting detective story behind why you unearthed a victim in a small town in Alaska to find this strain of the flu virus.
The village in Alaska, because we're interested in recovering flu from a body that was frozen. Obviously, in bodies that were buried in other places would not have survived 80 years, and so the only place to find a victim that wasn't fixed autopsy tissue would be a frozen material. And so the Seward Peninsula of Alaska had small villages that were devastated by the 1918 flu, and so there were these graves available.
And now you, the Armed Forces Institute, had found other victims in the past who had strains of this 1918 flu, right? But I guess they weren't frozen, so the virus wasn't as useful to you.
Right. So what we're doing is that by comparing the genetic analysis of the three cases, we can determine, one, that we really have the virulent form of the virus. All these cases come from the fall wave, the worst part of the pandemic. All of the victims died within 5 days of the onset of their symptoms. And so the sequences that we're getting from all three cases are the same, and that really gives us comfort that we're looking at the virulent form of the virus.
Incidentally, is there any danger that the virus you're studying from the frozen victim in Alaska could now, now that you've thought it, basically, come alive and spread?
No, there's not. There is no live virus. Our samples, the frozen material, was placed directly in fixatives that allowed us to extract the genetic material and not to culture virus. But our analysis shows that the genetic material is broken up into very small bits. There couldn't possibly have been live virus there.
So what can you learn now from this virus, now that you have some of the genetic material in good shape?
Well, what we hope to do is understand the more complete genetic structure of the virus for 2 points. One would be to try to find out if there are any genetic fingerprints that would actually lead us to understand why the virus behaved the way it did. That is, here was a virus that behaved so virulently, so unusually, with these other features as we've discussed, that there, to me, it seems that there must be a genetic basis for this kind of virulence. So we're hoping to find a mutation or a change that would lead us in that direction. The other thing we're interested in is to try to figure out how this virus arose and emerged into the human population. That is, influenza viruses infect a wide variety of animals, and we're interested in how this virus actually came into the human population. Did it come directly from birds or through another intermediate source? And once we understand that, we'll get clues to how to prevent such a catastrophe from occurring in the future. It's not just that the 1918 virus per se would actually reemerge, but that influenza viruses are constantly evolving and mutating and changing. And so it's possible that a pandemic of this magnitude could occur again. And so if we could figure out how these viruses spread into humans, how they get adapted for life in humans, and particularly why this virus behaved in such a way, that would help us to try to prevent that in the future.
Now, this is a sort of unsettling way to end this discussion, but are you saying that sometime in the future there could be a viral outbreak as deadly as the 1918 epidemic?
There certainly could be. Certainly, some of the deaths in 1918 were due to people getting secondary bacterial pneumonias who died because there were no antibiotics and so on. But some of the deaths here were so rapid with this very unusual massive pulmonary hemorrhage and edema, there'd be very little that we could do to prevent that now. So there, it's absolutely clear that influenza outbreaks will continue to occur. Going back at least several hundred years in clinical records, influenza pandemics occur quite regularly, every 20 to 30 years. There have been three so far this century, 1918, 1957, the Asian flu, and 1968, the Hong Kong flu. And so if you're a betting man, the averages are that we'll have one in the very near future.
When you say one in the very near future, but not that deadly.
Well, God willing, not. But since one of that magnitude did occur in 1918, it's certainly possible that it could happen again. And that's the race, is to try to figure out why the 1918 virus was so deadly, so that we could try to prevent it if a virus with similar features were to arise again in the future.
Thanks very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Jeffrey Taubenberger is chief of the Molecular Pathology Division at the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology here in Washington, D.C.